Again, G-47 has shown his power on Euclidea, the magic island of the South Seas. When Jerry Hall started off the homing pigeon to Johnson on the rescue boat, things looked very bright. The pigeon was released at midnight, and at 8 in the morning, the Gregory party were sure that all was well, and that the pigeon had reached the other boat. As they were discussing their chances of escape in the soundproof cabin on the yacht, the mad scientist, G-47, walked in with the pigeon in his hand. G-47 has just left the cabin, after telling them that the pigeon was stopped by gas in the ring of fog surrounding the island.
Well, I guess that's the end of it.
Oh, Mother, is there no hope at all?
Very little, my dear. You heard what G-47 said. His assistants are working now on the formula they took from the leg of that pigeon. And when they've successfully compounded it, our lives will be worth nothing.
Golly whiskers, Tex. Tex? Hey, Tex, what are you thinking about?
How to get this pigeon or the other one through that ring of fog and gas that guards the island.
But can you do it in time to be of any help, Captain? G-47 and his men will be working rapidly on that formula. And when they complete it, I think it will be too late to help us then.
Oh, Tex, isn't there something we can do?
I'm afraid not. There's no chance for these birds to fly through that gas ring. They'll never fail to use a gas ring as long as they have a chance of trying anything else.
Wait a minute, Tex. You act like you're not paying any attention to us at all. Quit worrying about getting the message through to Johnson. He can't get here in time to save us anyhow.
Jerry's right, Tex. What we've got to do is try some extreme measure. Something wild and foolish if there's nothing sensible and reasonable left to do. But we've got to do something about getting off this island before those Euclideans get that formula compounded.
No hurry about that, Pat. It'll take them a long time to figure it out.
Do not be too sure, Captain Bradford. G-47 and those other men can do as they wish with any formula that any living man could write for them.
Hurry up, Tex. Let's try to get off this crazy island.
Take a look outside the door, Jerry. I'm going to tell you something.
It's all right to talk in here now, Tex. No one can hear us with the cabin insulated with this opaque cloth.
Probably not. But take a look anyway, kid.
Okay, Tex. All clear out there. The skipper's at one end of the passage and the engineer at the other.
All right. I'll just let the pigeon rest here on the bunk.
That beautiful little bird is so frightened. If it's hurt, we should...
Not a bit. Just some harmless gas that caused him to flutter slowly to the floor of the island. He'll be all right after he gets over his fright.
I read in your pigeon book that it upsets them when something stops them from a flight they've started out on.
Sometimes it does, but this little fellow has had accidents before. He'll be all right soon. I'll hold him here, Tex. There now, Bosun. Feel better now? Now, Tex, the pigeon seems comfortable. Go ahead.
I suppose I should have told you before, but I thought I'd save you a lot of worry if I did the worrying for all of us. I didn't want you to realize just how much I feared old G-47 and how little faith I had in that pigeon getting through the fog ring.
Well, we know the worst now, Tex.
I was afraid, Captain, that your plan was too simple to succeed against the protection on this island.
Oh, you did swell, Tex. Nobody's going to blame you when old G-47 works out that formula and, well, and comes to do whatever he's going to do with us.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, kid. I've had my mind on the pigeon and can't seem to stay on the subject. But you can quit worrying about the formula. The old G-47 may be mad enough to kill us anyway when he discovers that he hasn't got it.
What do you mean, Tex? Did you put the formula in code?
These Euclideans can decipher any code nearly as fast as it can be read by one who understands it. They have a conversion table of all the possible combinations of figures, letters, and characters known to man. And they work out a code as accurately as you would use a slide rule.
Then when they read the code, we're sunk for sure.
But it wasn't code. What I had on that message to Johnson simply was not my formula.
Then they haven't the formula at all?
They must have some formula, or they wouldn't be working on it all this time.
They have a formula, all right. And no matter how clever they are, they're going to have some fun with it before they give up trying to compound my secret with it.
You gave them a formula which will make nothing, then?
No, I gave them a formula which I've worked on for years. And I've worked with some of the greatest chemists in the world on it. The formula for making synthetic diamonds.
Giggling goldfish. Then if they work it out, they'll have a diamond.
Something like one, Jerry. Though the formula was never quite perfect, was it, Tex?
No. It works up to a certain point where a hard mass is precipitated. But before you can rescue this solid from the solution, it is promptly dissolved again.
That's a honey, Tex. It may fool them, too. For when they get this hard substance and then it dissolves, they'll think they got the real thing, the universal solvent.
Hush, Jerry, not so loud.
So that is your secret, Captain Bradford. The universal solvent. I've often heard G-47 say you had the greatest formula in the world, and one that chemists have tried to get since chemistry began. Now I can understand why they wanted to bring you to this island.
Yes, Joan, dear. I was allowed to come here and find you so those scientists could get Captain Bradford in their power. Now all our lives will pay for it.
Hey there, Mrs. Gregory. Cut it out. We're not done yet by a long ways. Don't forget what G-47 said. As long as they're trying to get Texas formula, we're safe.
Right, and before they get it, we may figure our way out.
Do you mind if I ask you a question about your formula, Captain Bradford?
Go right ahead, Joan. Only don't talk too loud.
You have really found the formula for the universal solvent?
Yes.
You've actually used it to dissolve every element and combination of elements known to science?
Yes, Joan, I really have it.
What do you use as a container to keep it in?
Oh, I thought that was coming, Tex. Joan's got her head fastened on tight, all right.
Is your head loose, Jerry?
Now, don't you two start that again. Jerry is really paying you a very high compliment, Joan. He thinks it's clever of you to ask such a question.
To ask that is only natural, I think. For if you have something which will dissolve everything, how could you keep any of it? It would eat its way through any container.
You may think it's natural to ask that, Joan, with the training you've had here. But most people pass it up. Anyhow, I have the formula. And it will eat its way out of anything you put it in. And that very fact is a thing I think will save our lives and get us off this island.
But how?
No more now, Jerry. I hope we haven't talked too much about it as it is.
Here's where we get it for the trick we played on them.
G-47 will be very angry.
Can't help it now. Come in.
Oh, Skipper. What is it?
Pigeon.
Something happened to the other pigeon?
Aye.
What's up, Skipper? Someone at the pigeon cote?
Was.
Someone been there and done something to the pigeon?
Aye.
Oh, Ted.
Steady, Pat. You three stay here. I'll take this other pigeon and go and see. Shove off, Skipper.
Aye.
Now, what's up, I wonder?
Oh, I hope they haven't harmed the other one. I wouldn't mind their taking it away from us to keep us from using it, but I'd feel very badly if anything happened to them.
You are so sweet and kind, Mother. I think those are the words I want to use, but we know so little of those qualities on Euclidea that I do not even know how to speak of them.
You're doing all right, Joan. For a girl that didn't know anything when I landed here, you're getting so you talk pretty near as good as I do.
You mean I speak nearly as well as you, Jerry.
Oh, what's the use?
I'm afraid, Jerry, that Joan is rapidly learning our careless manner of address, and she's really right.
I want to speak as you do, Mother, and I want to go to your world and learn all about it.
Our chances of that aren't boiling over right now.
Oh, now, Jerry, you must not get in that frame of mind. You must keep happy and foolish to help the rest of us.
Yes, Jerry. Tex is inclined to look on the dark side of things, mostly to keep us from getting our hopes too high, I think. And we've learned to look to you for the bright side, so don't let us down.
Well, I'm sorry. Only things happen too fast here for me sometimes. Now this pigeon thing. We had our hopes all worked up on getting a message to Johnson, and the pigeon comes back.
But they didn't get Captain Bradford's formula, Jerry, and that is something.
Yes, something. But what will G-47 do because he was tricked?
He won't do anything till he gets Texas' real formula.
Jerry may be right, Mother. G-47 and his assistants have a patience that is terrible. Their plans and formulas have been complete. Their equipment ready for world conquest. And their supplies on hand for many months. Yet they have waited patiently for this chance to get Captain Bradford here with his formula.
But why did they have to make such an involved process of it? A simple message that you had been found living here would have brought us at any time.
I don't know about that, Mrs. Gregory. Remember how many times you have been fooled about Joan being found someplace, and how you even wondered about coming here.
I know the Euclideans wanted to be sure you left your home without any suspicion of what you would find, as they feared Captain Bradford might leave instructions behind him as to what to do if you did not return as you had planned. If these men fear anyone or anything in the world, it is Captain Bradford.
Gee, it's great to be that important.
But you, Jerry, you are also important.
Me? How come?
You have some very powerful radio apparatus in your home in Hollywood, you and your father. Is that not so?
Jerry, they must have heard you sending with your 1 1/2 meter set.
Oh, I don't think it would pick up here. It's just a homemade affair.
Oh, it was heard here. And it was heard to answer the call which brought you down here.
Jiminy, Jim Cracks. Do you mean that when I heard that report about the old sailor and tried to get more information about it, that they really heard my QRF here?
Yes, Jerry. They heard you very plainly when you repeated the message G-47 sent. And you said you would try to locate Mrs. Gregory, Mother, and get the message to her.
Now, Jerry, how does that feel? See how important you are?
Well, it's no surprise to me. I always had an idea I'd turn out to be a pretty important guy.
And you take it all so modestly, Jerry.
Oh, gee.
And your face is so red, Jerry. You look so funny.
Joan, dear. Joan, you laughed. That's the first time I ever heard you laugh.
We do not laugh on Euclidia. I never felt like that before. It's a nice feeling to laugh. Jerry, you must make me laugh some more. Will you please look foolish again so that I may laugh?
Oh, sure. Oh, no, I won't.
Well, I can't figure that one out. Here's the other pigeon, not hurt a bit. Skipper said one of G-47's men came and took it out of the coat. Handled it very carefully and put it back.
What could that be for, Tex?
I don't know.
Oh, they just did something to it so it can't carry messages for us.
May I see the pigeon, Captain Bradford?
Certainly, Joan. Here you are.
Such a soft and warm little thing. He's rather nervous, I think. Let me see. Yes. So that is it. This pigeon could not leave the island now, Captain, through the fog ring.
Have they done something to it so the gas will affect it?
Wait a minute. Let me feel that pigeon. Yep. Remember when we got off the yacht the first time and we tried to walk? That magnetism held us still, even our hands.
What do you see, Jerry?
He feels it, Captain Bradford. Before you had time to leave the yacht when you first landed, a magnetic paint had been put on the rail and deck of the yacht in the yellow darkness, so that you could not move when the current was turned on.
Then that is what's been done to this pigeon? I can't see it.
The paint is colorless and odorless, but it lasts for many hours. And this pigeon is now covered with it and could never get outside the magnetic circle. We have lost our only hope, Captain Bradford.